Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show, and what a day it is. Joe Zagacki alongside Don Bailey Jr., University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, Miami and Notre Dame, 27-24. Hurricanes win, 27-24 over Notre Dame. Should I say it a third time?
You can. Yeah.
What a game, coach. What an environment. I'm not even sure where to start, but maybe I'll start here. The environment, probably something you've been building toward. That place, Hard Rock Stadium, was jumping. And, you know, Hurricane fans, when they're in full throat like that, they're a different brand, man, and they brought it.
A very different game day experience. It really was. And everybody felt it. I mean, our players arriving on our buses, seeing the amount of people out there, coming out for warm-ups, recruits that were in attendance, families. I mean, everybody felt just a very different kind and a different level of energy. And that kind of stuff is contagious now, right? With the first big hit, that thing just grows exponentially, and it was awesome all night.
Coach, you talked about something after the game about the promise you made to guys like Cooper and Maui Noah and Bain about, you promised them if they come in and they commit, this is what's going to happen, meaning you're going to take on a top 10 team in Notre Dame at home, and you will have turned this program to the point where you will beat Notre Dame at home. And you kept your promise.
Well, I'll tell you what, you look back, it's now, we start our fourth season now, right? We have 3 years under our belt. And that first season, I mean, it's a starting point. You got what you got, and you do your very best by every player. That's your job. But I remember, you know, in those tough nights outside of Hard Rock after those games, talking to some of those players, talking about Reuben Bain specifically the other day, and watching this unbelievable Central Rocket just killing it week in and week out, and seeing what we got, and seeing we got to get you here. And keeping him engaged and believing, and look, our vision is going to be validated through hard work and talent acquisition and player development with a great culture. You know, you got to be in it. You got to see it. You got to believe it. And it was great just seeing just living proof of that come to fruition last night. It's a big moment for Ruben and the rest of those guys, Yanez Coopers of the world, CeCe Manoas, Mark Fletchers. So many. Akeem Mesidor is right, because Akeem's really a freshman when we took him, you know, for us. So it was just incredible validation.
We'll get into the game and the keys to the game, but along those lines, you came here with a blueprint, and we saw that against Notre Dame. We saw the blueprint. And we've got a long way to go this season. We know that. But if I was to bring up another example of one of the last times Miami was in one of these games, an opening game prior to you, it was against Alabama. And it was 41-3 in the fourth quarter. That's the disparity that Miami was facing, 41-3 in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter against Notre Dame, it was Miami in front by 10 points over a team that played for the national championship. That's how far this program has gone with your blueprint, and still some distance to go. But this, I think, shows the improvement because of that blueprint you have brought here.
Well, you know, it's the product of a lot of hard work by a lot of awesome people at every level. You know, sports science is involved, strength and conditioning is all over it, the medical staff, the training room staff, development, academic services. I mean, it is a full throttle approach every single day. A lot of people that we're really thankful for. And everybody knows this is just the beginning. It's a great start, but a lot to improve upon from here and a lot to look forward to.
Coach Carson Beck came to the University of Miami and came in, was injured, is now healed, and Hurricane fans and the nation got a look at Carson Beck, and he's as impressive as his numbers say they are.
And I hope people got a chance to hear him speak from the heart after the game as well, so they could see what a great human being he is as well. But Carson did what Carson does. He's a winner. He's a competitor. And he put it all on the line like we all knew he would. And it's great to see him get off to that kind of a start.
20 of 31, 205 yards. At one point, completed 12 straight passes. C.J. Daniels. Let's talk about that for a moment. Somebody asked me, have you seen a better catch by a University of Miami wide receiver? And you think Andre Johnson, Michael Irvin, when you played, Jim Joyner, Pat Walker, Blades, Andre Brown, Copeland, Lamar Thomas. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen a better catch. But you tried to get him for a while and tried to tell people, this guy is a good player. And he made his announcement.
And what's crazy is he actually made almost an identical catch to that during our practices, just from the other side. So, yeah, I've been chasing him forever. it's like Bigfoot, right? You know, he exists, but you can't ever capture him. So, but he is exactly what we hope for from a talent and a player standpoint. He's just exponentially more of a leader than we ever could imagine he would have been. He's had a tremendous impact on that room.
Malachi Toney, 17 years old, reclassified himself. I mean, really can be in high school, could have been in high school right now, and comes out on the biggest stage imaginable and acts like he's been there and done that.
Yeah, no flinch at all in him. I mean, he's and again, there's a certain level of confidence that you establish throughout the course of practice, not just by the plays you make, but the time you invest and the fact that if you are not exactly on point, that you will do anything and everything to make sure it's exactly on point. That's what he is. Everybody had trust and confidence in him, and so he did what he's been doing in practice every day.
I don't know if I can say this, but you had a player at FIU when you were there, T.Y. Hilton. I often wonder when you recruit guys, is there like a Rolodex in your head? And you say, oh, that guy reminds me of the guy I had before.
You know, there always is, but I always like to keep guys independent mm-hmm. of those kind of comparisons. You want them to be the first one of themselves right. as opposed to the next somebody else. So, but have we had some great ones? Oh yeah, it's hard not to draw comparisons, right? At the University of Miami with so many great ones over the years, but Malachi's off to a great start.
Coach, talk about the running back room, and you can go down the list, but Marty Brown, we know what Fletch has done, we've seen that, but Marty Brown came in, 15 carries, 54 yards, but just a hard running, tough, put some pain on you when you tackle him kind of guy. And what a changeup he is.
Tremendous job by Marty. Tremendous job by all those guys, yeah. by Mark, by Jordan. Jordan got a little bit nicked up by Coach Merrick getting those guys ready. They refused to just go down on first contact and by the first tackler, and they made a humongous difference in the game.
Thought you you beat Notre Dame at their own game. You did not turn the ball over. Your physicality of your offensive line, and then you dominated that middle eight, which actually turned out to be like the middle 16 because of the long drive in the third quarter. You get the touchdown to end the half, and you open the third quarter, the 12 play, 75-yard drive, which you basically said, hey, offensive line, we recruited you, we believe in you, take this thing over, and you mauled them for 75 yards.
Well, you know, those guys, we view offensive linemen as playmakers here, right? And we've invested a lot in them, and sometimes, you know, people might wonder, well, how do you look at certain parts of your team during critical times? Well, they are as big of a playmaker as a wide receiver or running back, so it was time to lean on them, just like at other times we really, you know, lean on the quarterback or a tight end or a back or a receiver to make a play. So it was awesome to watch those guys go to work, sink their pads, sink their hips, and run off the football and get all that movement they did to create the seams, the holes, the opportunities for our backs to get going, get downhill, and eventually cap off that drive with a touchdown.
Coach, you had a rotation on the left side last year on the offensive line, and Samson Okanolo came in. This got a bunch of 40, almost 40, 50 reps this game, and he looks like he's made a big difference. He's really brought up his game.
Hard work works.
Yeah.
Hard work works. You know, and Samson, credit to him for just working his tail off and keeping his mouth shut. You know, when you're a high-profile guy, people expect it to happen all of a sudden. And in football, sometimes it happens over a long period of time, all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You know, those things kind of come together, they collide. And no one knows as to when someone's actually going to pop, when it's actually going to just hit for them on all cylinders. And he's hitting his stride now. Samson is playing some great football for us.
Coach, take us through the end of the game, the last drive. And Don mentioned Shamar Brown. He picked up a huge first down on 3rd and 2. It took you inside of 2 minutes, which forced Notre Dame to use all their timeouts. So I thought that was important. You were able to force Notre Dame to burn their timeouts. Maybe talk about the physicality of that drive. And then, of course, that set it up for Carter Davis, who nobody knew anything about him, but his leg was like dynamite. Especially on the last kick.
Yeah, you know what? We had gone 3 and out a few times, and we had put a lot of pressure on our defense. We had to keep them off the field. So we had to sustain the football, sustain the drive, and we had to give the defense some time to recover while we went down there and scored to end the game, close it out. And we thought we could do it in a couple different ways, and certainly we were going to lean on our offensive line some, and there were some opportunities for some throws as well. But at the end, it came down to those guys moving the piles and getting it close enough where we felt comfortable with our kicking situation to go in there and Carter getting it done.
Coach, Popo Algieri comes in, leads in tackles, physical, And there's a guy, perfect example, that has just worked himself into a position to really contribute.
Sure has. Sure has. Proud of Popo, man. Popo. Yeah. Popo is a grinder. He's a physical dude. He's got a lot of energy. He's a great leader, great person, and a great teammate. And he had some great plays last night. Another guy whose best football is just ahead of him, you know. So really proud of him and really proud of the way that entire defense played.
Notre Dame, 93 yards rushing on 28 carries, 3.3 yards per carry. You'll probably take that almost every game. Jeremiah Love, 33 yards, one of the best running backs in the country. Held him to 33 yards. Your run defense was really good.
We did a really good job controlling their running backs. Their quarterback draws got us a few times, and then one of those inside plays busted outside on us, got around the edge when we were supposed to set the edge with our nickel. But aside from that, our guys did a really good job of controlling the line of scrimmage and shutting down the primary part of their run game. Their quarterback run game did get us a few times.
Dylan Joyce, 42-yard average, field position was huge, and once again, your punter comes up big.
A really big part of the game was everyone understanding that they had blocked more kicks than anybody in the country.
Yeah.
Okay, and they come after you in all kinds of ways, and that they ran more fakes than anybody in the country. So we had a tremendous plan for both sides. We were going to mix up our formations, our assignments, the style of punt, but we were going to get it off quick. And to do so, if you get it off quick, you better give it some hang time, and you better get down there and cover, and we did both. It was the best day of coverage we've had here in 3 years. 3 years plus one game.
And by the way, Tony was very confident on the punt returns, and Marion returned one, and you can see his electricity on kickoff returns.
No doubt. I mean, I think we have certainly continued to just improve our special teams through recruiting, through development, through schematic stuff that we have done. So we're looking forward to watching the special teams grow and get better.
Saturday, it's the Hurricanes and Bethune-Cookman at Hard Rock Stadium. 7 o'clock kickoff as Miami takes on Bethune. Coach, when you get a game like Bethune, and they're coming off a game that they struggled in against FIU, but you look at their roster, a lot of experience. We'll talk about their head coach in a moment. A lot of guys from the state of Florida, and that always creates some extra intensity.
A lot of good players on that roster. I'm very familiar with their roster, and I am very familiar with their head coach. They have a lot of good players, and they will be ready to play. And like it is going to be for any week that we play, we have to be at our very best. College football every single week has proven that if you are not at your best, you leave yourself open for a very disappointing afternoon. So we're obviously today is the day after the game, so we're getting our guys all mended up and ice packs and, you know, Advil, whatever else, to get themselves ready for tomorrow, because we're right back at it. We're right back. It's a shorter week, but we have the same amount of practice days, and we'll take full advantage of that.
And Coach, you take advantage of practice. Your practice is your practice. I mean, your Tuesday's a Tuesday, your Wednesday's a Wednesday. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. You're going to go after it the way you go after it every single day.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Bethune-Cookman, for their coach, for their players. We know they have good players. We know they have a good team. They lost several games last year by 1, 2, and 3 points. They have a lot of starters returning, particularly up front. We feel that they have a very good team, and we need to prepare at our best to make sure we play our best.
Yeah, to pick up on that point, they had 5 games decided by 14 points. So that probably allows you to address the team about playing to the Miami standard, right?
No doubt. I mean, they are going in the right direction. They're doing a lot of the right things, and we have been at that point too, right, when we were rebuilding, and we were getting our feet underneath us and playing. That's what they're doing now. So for us, learning to play to our standard is as important as anything else, okay? And all I know that we have that opportunity coming up on Saturday, so we got to get right back to preparation.
But fact be told is every day is competition on Green Tree. I mean, that's just what it is here now, especially under Coach Cristobal, like it was in the past, that jobs are open every single day. You have to keep earning it or you will lose it.
Amen. That's the best way always to put it, and that's always the best way to keep it. And it's the only way to get the absolute best out of your team. Keep competition alive. I mean, if for 1 second your team gets comfortable, it's almost like losing your culture through paper cuts. You know, this give a little bit here, give a little bit there. You won't be as sharp as you need to be later on in the season. So it's all about one game at a time. Every single game's a playoff game. That's why you have to look at it.
And the other thing you mentioned about Bethune earlier was They've got guys that can put pressure on the quarterback. They got guys that can block. You look kind of looking at their trenches. And a year ago, they're averaging over 2 sacks a game. So sometimes 3 sacks a game. So you know that they've got something going on in defense where they want to pressure the quarterback.
No doubt. They're disruptive. And they've got good athletes, guys that can run. You know, and all it takes is one miss, right, to cause a turnover, to turn the momentum of a game and get a player hurt. You know what I mean? So this is, look, I have a tremendous amount of respect for this team, and therefore we will be preparing for them at the highest level.
And the last thing, their coach, third year, Raymond Woody, he's got a lot of pride. He's worked hard. He's put together a really nice staff.
Yeah, a lot of respect for Coach. We worked together in 2017 at the University of Oregon. He was a great high school player in the state of Florida, legendary, you know, and I know that he'll have his guys ready to play.
All right, back to your team from the game the other night, defensive tackle. Moten, Blay, Scott, those guys. And right off the bat, Scott came up with the big hit that forced the fumble. And then we saw Blay make a couple of a tip and a tackle for a loss. Those guys, I thought, really, they handled their business.
They played well, and when they watch tape, they're going to realize they could play even better. There's a lot in the tank there, and we're starting to get that good play out of those guys, and we need more and more and more. We need more development. We saw Armando Blunt take some reps inside also, right? Armando Blunt played hard, man. He played really, really good football for us. So we see ourselves developing to a point where we could, you know, increase the number of people in that rotation to get more quality snaps out of our guys.
Wesley Bissaint, the linebacker spot, just getting better and better. You saw a bunch of flashing last year come out of him, but starts off game one extremely successful.
Without a doubt. And you can see he's in better shape, you know, and he's bigger and he's stronger. And it's his time, man. You know how it is. When you're a senior, there's an internal clock. There's something, an alarm that goes off. And it's gone off in him, and he's doing a really good job.
Well, the alarm went off for Reuben Bain, that's for sure. He was a wrecking crew out there. Whether he's intercepting a pass or sacking the quarterback or chasing somebody down, I don't know. He had his Wheaties, that's for sure, because he was Superman.
He sure was. He was him and Akeem Mesidor absolutely changed the complexion of the game. The ball had to come out quick, and you know, that being said, if it does have to come out quick, your secondary, right, your force players have to be ready to either get a guy on the ground in a hurry, right, block destruction on the perimeter, knock a ball down at the line of scrimmage. So I think we just we played probably the best complementary football we've played since we've been here.
Yeah,
Coach, conditioning wise I know you spend so much time on nutrition and conditioning and weightlifting. But now you go back to the blueprint. Now you're starting to see layers and layers of that with the classes and how that paid off on Sunday night.
Without a doubt, we felt that at some point in time, both teams were going to get tired and feel the elements a little bit. And we have to trust the fact that we train in, whether that's 20 degrees hotter, humidity that's 20% higher, and that we were just going to have a little bit more in the tank, but that we were playing a team that has no tap button. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to recognize that, who your opponent is. And we felt that they did not have a tap button, and they don't. Those are hard-nosed, tough dudes that are coached really hard, really well. And so it was going to take nothing less than everything we had.
I wanted to pick up on that for a moment. And everybody you talk to about Notre Dame, the way they played a year ago, especially on defense, first thing they said is Notre Dame plays harder for longer than anybody in the country. So you get them first, and to be able to match that or surpass it has to say something about the readiness of your program.
It says that we're off to a great start, and we are as proud of that victory as you could possibly get. And I don't know how many hours we have left till we come up on the 24 hours, but it's soon to be put way in the back burner, right, as we go forward and get this team ready to go. But it says a lot. It says a lot about what we have been able to put together as a roster and a staff, and from a culture standpoint, and also recognizing, brother, if you don't take care of business every week, games like that are soon forgotten.
But Coach, you also lean on your leadership on weeks like this. Mm-hmm. You come off a huge game. It's a national game and giant for this program. And then you have to come back and reality sets in on a short week. How do you lean on the leaders of this football team?
With honesty and transparency. It's always the best medicine, right? I mean, it's always the best way. Football is very real. You know, football hurts. Football is rewarding. Football is punishing. And the best way to always stay engaged, stay tight, have unity, is to, no matter good times or bad times, transparency and honesty.
I don't want to miss one position group. We've talked about everybody, but I do think this was pretty cool. Also, you were determined to improve the secondary, and you had guys that were here like Frederick and Damari Brown, and then you surrounded them, brought in more players, and I thought in the game against Notre Dame, it didn't matter who was out there, whoever went out there did not want to have a drop-off from whoever was in the game. So it didn't matter what the combination was. I thought the level of play, both at corner and safety, stayed at a high level.
It did. It did. And credit to Coach Heatherman and Coach Etheridge and Coach Harris, Coach Jefferson. They got those guys ready to play. And we like to develop our rooms from top to bottom. Doesn't matter where they came from, what year they're at. None of that matters. You know, at some point in time, someone in that room is going to have to step in and play winning football for us. So you approach them all the exact same way. And I think that that type of attitude has helped us.
Coach, how do the players, how do they go about understanding the fact that there is competition, and you talk about development constantly? I mean, every single week there's different guys at different spots. You're just cross-training different players. It's just part of how you go about it, isn't it?
I mean, we always tell the story of guys that were drafted and they played this one position in college, and when they got to that NFL team, they tapped them on the shoulder and said, "Hey, buddy, move over. Mm-hmm. You're going over to the other side." And that's just part of the game. And understand that this game is, at sometimes in the season, it's a game of attrition where guys go down and guys got to step up and play, and that there's no room for, if you want to be really good, there's no room for selfishness. You can't have it. You can't. And if maybe you're not where you want to be exactly, we always provide a very clear path to get that, you know, and we're going to help you get to that spot. But you got to do it. You know, there's no soft and kind and cuddly way to prepare a guy or to articulate, you know, what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. So we go right at it, and our guys do appreciate that.
The last thing for you, probably fairly important also, but the last thing for you, the way the game ended, Notre Dame, take us through what the defense was thinking about. Notre Dame's got the ball backed up. They have no timeouts remaining. They do have a lot of good weapons. Turned out that you had kind of just completely erased them in those final seconds, but maybe take us through what the defense was thinking, then the exhilaration when the clock hit zero.
Yeah, you know, them being out of timeouts, a sack is of extreme value because typically routes are down the field and the time for, you know, elapsed throughout the course of the play, plus players running all the way back to get set, getting a communicated play and then running it, that's a good chunk of time right there. So the value of a sack is immense. The value of an intentional grounding, and then some, right, with the runoff that came with it. So once that happened, it was a matter, okay, let's cover up, right? Let's make sure that nothing gets behind us, right? We know the kick line was about the 35-yard line, and let's get the guy on the ground, and our guys did.
Okay, great win against Notre Dame. Congratulations, but more work coming up with Bethune coming in on Saturday. Want to see a great crowd for that one. Thank you very much. Best of luck against the Wildcats.
Appreciate you. Got to see everybody at the Rock again this Saturday. Go Canes.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. For Don Bailey Jr., I'm Joe Zgacki. We'll see you next week right here on the Mario Cristobal Show.